This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. It's Tina Carmelia, Julie Jacobs and Kelly Anissa in the studio this time on the show this Thursday afternoon.
So we remember a year ago, domestic helper Adeline Sau died from head injuries and infected wounds on her limb. 1 year on, has justice been served?
But first, an 11-year-old girl who was previously reported missing was found brutally murdered. Why wasn't the no alert activated?
Yes, so in line with that, we're asking you on Twitter, can social media be a useful tool when it comes to, you know, assisting in cases of missing children? I mean, the answers are simple, either yes or no. To join in the conversation, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899, or you can even call us at 03-7733-2900.
We'll get straight to that story after Dirtbag by Swan Dive.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camelia, Juliet Jacobs and Kelly Anissa. Our first story ties in with our Twitter poll.
Yes, so we are asking you, can social media be a useful tool when it comes to cases of missing children? So, you know, essentially helping in these cases, and answers are simple, yes or no. Do join in that conversation. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899, or you can even call us at 03-7733-2900.
So, the body of 11-year-old Siti Masita was found last week. She has been missing since the 30th of January, and there have been, you know, some developments and progress in her case. And a man who knows the family was arrested, and, you know, there's still a lot that we don't know. So, a few days back, it was revealed that the no alert system had not been activated for the disappearance of Siti Masita. And according to District Police Chief Superintendent Amran Siddiq, this was because Siti Masita's parents were foreigners who had settled down in Pekan and did not possess identification documents.
Yeah, so this move has been, you know, heavily criticized by many, but including children's rights activist Dr. Hatini Zainuddin, who said in a Facebook post that, you know, all children must be protected equally under the Malaysian law. Women's aid organizations, advocacy and communications officer Tan Hyang Lee said it was discriminatory to deny children a life-saving protection service, you know, on the basis that they are undocumented. Mm. Yeah, I think anyone would say that. Information such as a child's appearance and last location that they were spotted at alone should have been enough to activate the alert.
You know, and that's the sad part, because children who are undocumented already face many barriers in accessing protection and justice, and among other things like the right to an education, for example. And, you know, as a side note, Siti Masita's parents also said that she was rejected from enrolling into government schools here. So, yeah, it's just all of those combined. It's what makes the situation sadder.
Yeah. Mm. And the case has generated responses from some of our leaders and the public as well. So a Twitter user online said, honestly, what is citizenship compared to the priority of ensuring the safety of children? Hannah Yeo also tweeted, no alert is for all children under the age of 12 reported missing regardless of documentation. And the Deputy Inspector General of Police, Tan Sri Nur Rashid Ibrahim, said that the PDRM takes every missing child case seriously regardless of their citizenship.
So, you know, we wanted to discuss this, and we spoke to Sharmila Sikran from Voice of the Children to get her take on the matter. Sharmila, what is your opinion on the case?
I think it's a very tragic case. It's tragic when we can do something and we don't do something about protecting children. It's very tragic. It becomes worse when it is children who are most vulnerable. And in this case, the little girl was a stateless child. She is among the most vulnerable of all communities, of all children in Malaysia. And a lot more needs to have been done or be done generally to prevent situations like this from arising.
And do you know of any previous cases where the no alert was used on undocumented children?
No, I don't know of any cases where the no alert was used on stateless or undocumented children. The reality is that when people are stateless or not documented, even when it comes to parents, they tend not to go to the police. So I think this was, in a sense, a little bit rare, or the mother was very, very desperate, which is why she went to the police. Most of them do not go to the police or alert authorities when something happens within their community, when a child goes missing. There have been many cases where refugee children, undocumented or stateless children have gone missing. They've been found dead. Their bodies have been found, but there has been no report to the authorities, to the police or anyone else, primarily because the parents and the whole community fears authority. You know, when you're not documented, they're treated. We treat people quite badly if they're not documented and if they're stateless. So there is that to also have to contend with.
And do you think undocumented children are indeed discriminated against in terms of safety measures? And, you know, are they more at risk? And is this a cultural issue or is it just the system that is flawed?
Yes, absolutely. Undocumented, stateless migrant communities, you have to remember that we have a very bad, generally, Malaysian society, we have a very bad or negative view of these people. The minute someone is labelled as undocumented, migrant, refugee, stateless, we think of them as, we don't even think of them as human beings a lot of the time. So they are definitely therefore more at risk. There is also a lack of care. It's not just the fact that they are at risk, but the fact is that a lot of the time we just don't care. In the work that we do at Voice of the Children, we've come across a lot of Malaysians, and when we talk to them about statelessness and undocumented children, they're like, why are we bothering about these people? Can't we look after Malaysian children? That is their attitude. VOC finds it very difficult to get funding if we talk about stateless children. People don't want to give funding to address those issues. So Malaysians don't care. And because of that, they are more at risk. They are more at risk of being violated. They are more at risk of being persecuted as well.
The police have since come out to say that the no alert is for everybody. So why do you think this happened anyway if it was never a policy to begin with?
Well, this is it. Sometimes we do see a disconnect between the different police. So what happens in, for example, KL or what HQ says about something does not necessarily trickle down and be implemented at state or division or district level. And this is across the board. It's not just the police. You see this with ministries. In terms of a lot of policies, there is very little trickle down and even awareness that, for example, a government circular or departmental circular has come out. You know, sometimes we have to tell them, are you aware of the circular, and try and get hold of it and show it to them. And then they were like, oh, no, we don't know. So I'm not surprised if the police say that the no alert applies to everyone, because it should. It should apply to all children in Malaysia. It has been used vis-a-vis children in Malaysia who are citizens of other countries. It has been used. But here you have a situation of a child who is in Malaysia, but no country protects that child. No country claims that child as its own. And therefore, this child, you can see how being stateless leaves you grossly unprotected. So one, it should be used by everyone, but the problem for all children, but it is, there's no trickle down in terms of policy and implementation. But the second thing also, there's a general lack of care, lack of attention for people who are not documented and who are stateless. And this is evidence of that, you know, we just don't care.
So I guess, you know, what would be the ideal action for police officers and authorities to take moving forward?
So this is something we've been calling upon the government and all government agencies to do. The first thing is that they really need to prioritise children, because what happened to this child can happen to another child. It appears that the person who took the child and whatever happened to the child, tragic as it was someone known to the child or within the community. But the fact is that this person could then move on to someone else and maybe not or be indiscriminate as to which child he moves on to. And it could be a local child, a Malaysian child. And do we want to wait for that to happen? Or should we be taking action now? So number one, we need to stop segregating and dividing children between citizens and non-citizens, people with citizenship and stateless. We need to stop doing that. We need to start looking at children as people who can achieve and become contributors to the nation and to society. And therefore, we need to start caring about it within that context. And we need to start utilizing all resources for all children, especially the stateless children, because if they are stateless, you have to remember they're not going anywhere. They're going to end up as adults in the country. They're going to go off and have children of their own, whether they get married to another stateless person or another or a Malaysian person. The fact is that the child will remain stateless because they have no documents to prove their citizenship and who they are. And then they're going to, this whole cycle is going to perpetuate. It's not going to end. So it's high time that we, all agencies, take cognizance of this and start doing something very, very drastic and immediate to address these problems of statelessness in the country.
So for those of you who might not know, NOR-ALERT stands for the National Urgent Response Alert. It is a child kidnapping and missing alert system modeled after the Amber Alert system in the United States. This system was launched in 2007 following the abduction and murder of 8-year-old Nurin Jazlin Jazimin. The system gathers and disseminates information on children below the age of 12 years old who are abducted or missing.
Yeah, and then for a better understanding on how this system works, you can listen to the Evening Edition's coverage on it yesterday. Just look up 01... I was going to give a phone number. 101, the NOR alert. You can look it up on our website, on the BFM app, or even on Spotify.
Yeah, so just, you know, in relation to missing children in Malaysia, a total of, you know, about 1,803 children and teenagers under 18 were reported missing in 2016. And the number had increased compared to 2015 when about 1,782 went missing. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, we've learned nothing from the Nurin Jazlin case, which was a really high profile case,
yes,
you know, more than 10 years ago. Nothing much has changed. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it really makes me wonder how many of these kids were undocumented children. Mm. I think that these numbers should be made available to the public again for like 2017 and, you know, even last year, you know, with the number of missing undocumented children included in that list.
Mm.
And this is only so that we can know that these processes are being carried out fairly, and it will also allow the authorities in charge of this to know that they can and will be held accountable for the safety of every child.
Yeah, I think it was quite flippant to say that, you know, the NOR alert was not activated because these were people who are undocumented. I think, you know, in terms of universal rights, especially for children, I think access to protection, especially in a life-threatening situation, should be paramount, regardless of whether you're stateless or not. I mean, there's certain things that are afforded to you based on your citizenship, like, mm-hmm. you know, the right to vote. But, you know, in this specific case, it is a simple, basic children's right.
Yeah, it's a human right, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a terrible thing. I mean, I remember a case where this is unrelated, but a lady who tried to get an abortion was charged for it, right? And she was an undocumented, she was a foreign worker. So you take the trouble to prosecute her for that.
Mm.
But then, you know, if she had brought the child into Malaysia, into the world, you would not have protected that child under the same. It boggles the mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think, you know, we can do about this? Does it help to legalize parti or pendatang asing tanpa izin? Do you think it helps to give them these legal documents that will allow their children to have access to all these basic rights?
Well, clearly not, based on the statistics that Juliet just shared earlier, right? Over almost 2,000 kids gone missing, and most likely these are just cases that were reported because they're Malaysians,
yeah.
right? So that's still a large number.
Yeah,
we have no idea, because we have no idea of the numbers of, you know, illegal people who come in undocumented. So we have no clue. And we don't know, and there's no protection for them. They're scared to go to the police, of course, because, you know, they're undocumented. It's just, there's so many loopholes, and there's just so much here that and I think that also has to do a lot with, you know, fear of the authorities, right?
Mm.
So there's so many different avenues that really, really need a lot of fixing before we can even, you know, start to think about becoming a first world country.
And that's the part about what Shamila said that really stuck with me, is that they fear the authorities.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, these are people who, you know, are supposed to keep you safe. They are supposed to regulate these things, but they are so feared by this group of people who are so clearly discriminated against on so many levels. You know, and especially with kids.
Mm. Yeah, and so we are running a Twitter poll, Juliet, would probably give us the numbers.
Yes. So we're asking you, can social media be a useful tool when it comes to assisting in cases of missing children? So far, about 94% of you have said yes, and another 6% actually say no. I mean, I'm interested to hear, you know, from you guys who said no, why do you think that is an ineffective method?
Maybe I can be their voice, because I didn't vote on this poll, but I would also probably say no. I think largely it can be ineffective unless you're of a certain ethnicity or nationality. Yeah. I feel like, and this is not just in Malaysia, I think globally, individuals of a certain skin color or
social
background, yes, they will garner a lot more public attention.
Yeah.
And you know, like in this specific case, for example, I'm sure nobody would have retweeted any of those images or, you know, alerts on social media.
It's funny you mentioned that, because when I was doing research for for this, I could not find a lot of reaction online about it, especially about the no alert. I would think that would, you know, shake people to think that someone's safety was, you know, somewhat cast aside because she wasn't a Malaysian citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find a lot of reaction online as opposed, you know, to other cases, you know, especially when you take into account the brutality of the crime.
Yeah, and maybe that's our fault as well, the media. You know, maybe we didn't report on it as much.
Yeah.
We didn't give it as much, I suppose, coverage as we would have if it were a Malaysian child, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many different, like I said, there's so many different agencies here that really need to get their act together.
Yeah. Well, if you have any thoughts on this issue, you can share it with us. But coming up next, we are remembering Adelina Sau, the domestic worker who died after suffering abuse from her employers. That's after Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.